because I don't want it to be too loud. Just get on, okay?
So if you can turn to Galatians in chapter 3. Wow, you guys, you've been promoted to the front row. How does that feel? Brilliant. So we're going to be looking very practically at the first 14 verses to Galatians 3. We've already had a chance in some weeks previously to look at them in quite a lot of detail, but I just wanted to go back to those, and rather than spend too much time trying to explain them, I wanted to apply them. And so in a little while, there's going to be an opportunity for all of us, or as many of us as want to pray for one another. And I really trust that God is going to encourage us and strengthen us and help us. And I think it's interesting, those two words that were brought, Anne and Suzanne, I think that they do very much go together, in fact, because what you were describing in the picture of those poor hens being set free from their past with all of the mess of it, and then what Anne was describing, if you like, two messed up hens having to now get on and start living the Christian life, as it were, together, but bearing in mind where they've come from. They're not kind of beautiful, sweet, and all sorted out to start with. There is now a process of restoration that begins. And so really what I'm looking at this morning is about Christian beginnings and Christian continuings. So I'll read a few verses to you first of all. So verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And then on to verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So Lord, as we just consider again very practically our beginnings as Christians, as those who've been born again, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will help us. I ask that you'll be really active in this room this morning. And Lord, as we prepare to minister to one another in the power of the Spirit, I pray, God, that you already be beginning to do that as I speak. I pray, Lord, that this will not be a mental activity alone, but it will be a spiritual exercise that you are doing with us from this moment. Lord, I know you've been with us already through the morning. You're already speaking to us. But I'm just asking you, Lord, to really now press in to each one in this room. Let no one be neglected by your activity, Holy Spirit. Let each one meet with you through the Word and by the Spirit. Amen. So, how do you start in the Christian life? And how do you go forwards in the Christian life? Galatians 3, it seems to me, is one of those places in the Bible where we see something about how to start and how to go on. In fact, it turns out that starting and going on is supposed to be the same thing. The problem in Galatians was some people who'd come in and said, yeah, you've made a start, but now you've got to do something else, something different. And the point Paul is making is that actually Christian life, how we start, is also how we're meant to go on. So I want to just look at, if you like, some steps, simple steps that we can see contained within these verses. And so my first step, perhaps next slide, my first step is this. It's hearing. Hearing about Jesus. In particular, it's hearing that he died for you and for me. And it's understanding that that death was no random accident, something weird that happened. It turns out that it was God's purpose and plan from before the beginning of creation. And that the death of Jesus Christ is a fulfillment of promise upon promise upon promise that we find from Genesis onwards in the Bible. Jesus Christ died in our place. Tony, would it be okay if you just switch the dishwasher off because it's making a little bit of a whistly noise? Thank you very much. So we understand that Jesus died in our place. We understand that in his death on the cross, he took the full consequences of all our sin upon himself, once and for all. In fact, I was thinking about this with our little breakfast group this week, and I kind of considered something I've not thought of before. Paul was talking about our hidden sins, people's secret sins. And I just realized that on the cross, Jesus took our secret hidden sin onto himself, and it was exposed. And it was deep, deep shame. In the shenanigans of the Conservative Party leadership election, they've been seeking to expose hidden wrongdoings in one another in order to bring about shame and humiliation. Jesus died on the cross for your secret sins, the things that probably no one else in this room knows about apart from you. And the consequence of those secret hidden sins should have been public humiliation on the day of judgment. But Jesus has been publicly humiliated for you, so that on the day of judgment, you need not fear shame. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You probably all thought about that before, but it just struck me afresh on Friday morning. I thought, oh, wow. Wow. On the day of judgment, they're not going to be listing out my hidden sins as well as my public ones. No, because Jesus has already dealt with them. He's experienced public humiliation for my hidden and secret sins. He died in my place. He took my shame. He took my death. It's a substitutionary death. And the thing is that the moment that we turn to him and receive forgiveness and salvation, all the benefits of this new life with God forever become ours. Paul talks about this kind of wonderful thing that happens. In verse 1, it talks about Jesus being publicly portrayed before them. They heard about Jesus. And as they believed in that, they got the benefits. Now, you might perhaps ask the question, well, how am I to hear about Jesus? Well, the best way to hear about Jesus is to read or listen to the eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus Christ, which you can read in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John's Gospel of the New Testament. Hear about Jesus. So Paul says the first step is this, it's hearing about Jesus. But in fact, he doesn't quite put it like that. In verse 2, and he repeats it in verse 5, he talks about hearing with faith. It's a specific type of hearing that this first step requires of us. You see, it's possible for someone to come along and to be here on a Sunday morning, to see us breaking bread, we announce that Jesus died in our place. It's possible to hear it and to go away unchanged. The New Testament says that's like looking in the mirror, seeing that there's an issue, and then going away and doing nothing about it. In a sense, when we break bread, when we share the message of Jesus, it's like showing us in the mirror, you need a saviour, here is the saviour. But it's not enough simply to know that. In James's letter, we were looking at this 2 weeks ago with our young people, we realised actually even Satan knows this stuff. He's heard it. It's not enough to know it, friends. There's a specific type of hearing that is required of you, what Paul calls hearing with faith. That is how you start the Christian life. There's like one door. When you come here and the building is all locked up, there is only one way to come in without setting the alarm off, and that is to go through that particular door. You need to know how to get through the door. It's pretty simple. You need to have heard, and then you need to have faith that what you were told in terms of how to operate it will work. And you do it, you come in, you know what to do with the alarm. If you try and come in through any of the other doors, the bells will go off and all the rest of it. There is only one way in. There is only one way to start the Christian life. It is by hearing with faith about Jesus. Hearing with faith means that not only do we know what has happened to Jesus, not only do we know that he died in our place and for us, but we trust that this death of Jesus on the cross has the power to bring about forgiveness and putting us into right relationship with God. We've got to trust, just like when you come through the door for the first time, you've got to trust that what you've been told works, and you'll never know unless you do it. In the same way, you've got to trust that the death of Jesus makes it possible for you to be in the right with God and have a new life with him forever. You've got to hear it with faith. You don't need very much faith. Jesus said even the tiniest seed would be enough. You don't need lots of faith. You don't need mega faith. You don't have an emotional feeling and all this kind of stuff. It's a pretty simple thing. You've got to say, I choose to believe that this will work. It's a choice. The power is not in your faith, by the way. The power is in what Jesus has done for you. It's who you put your trust in that matters, not how much you feel about that trust. Put your trust in Jesus. That's what it means to hear with faith. To trust from the heart that what Jesus has done on the cross can change you forever. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter, one of the other great leaders in the early church, got asked by a crowd of people who had done just that. They had heard with faith. They just heard about Jesus and it had got them in the heart. They were thinking, it's true. We've got to do something. And they said, what do we do? What do we do? How do we trust? Peter, tell us what to do. And he gave them a really simple and straightforward way to hear with faith, as it were, the next step. Having heard with faith, what are you supposed to do? Where's the foot supposed to go next? He said to them, repent and be baptized. So these are the next two steps. So the first step is to hear with faith, to trust and believe it. But the next step, and they kind of, you can hardly find a crack between them. The idea is they flow together. This is how we start the Christian life. We hear with faith. We hear about Jesus. And what do we do with what we've heard? How do we put that trust into practice? We repent. And repentance simply means a U-turn, a change of direction, 180 degree turn, a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of lordship, a swap about who's the driver controlling the direction that your life is going in. And the switch is going from saying, I'm ruling my life and going where I want to go, to I'm choosing now to follow Jesus and I'm going his way. That is what it means to repent. It's to say, oh God, you're right. I've been wrong all this time driving the car of my life thinking I know best. I agree with you, God, that you know best. And so I am going your way from here on. We say, God, you're right. I have sinned and done wrong. You're right. And you're a holy God. I need forgiveness. And I'm agreeing with you that if you say I can be forgiven by trusting in Jesus, that must be true. We abandon our pride of thinking, no, I can sort myself out. I'm going to make sure everything's all right on my terms. So we turn around and say, no, Lord, I need what you've got. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. That's what it means to repent. It's not complicated, but it does demolish our pride because we do have to surrender and decide who is now Lord of our life. And Peter, on that day, when they were asked what to do, he said, repent and be baptized. It's the same phrase. He didn't start a new sentence, a new paragraph, a new chapter, say, right, come back next month, we'll talk about the next step. He said, repent and be baptized. And so in this kind of seamless beginning process, what we are called to do is to hear with faith. Is that coming from upstairs, or is that me? Is it? George, can we just turn it down a bit? Because I'm not sure what's going on. So we're called then to hear with faith, to trust and to believe it, and to make that turn from our hearts and say, God, I agree with you. You're right. I was wrong. I need your forgiveness. And if you like, the very kind of process of you hear, you turn. And it's kind of like, well, all of this is going on the inside. Maybe your mouth is moving. But God says, and what you do is you get baptized. It's the God-given way to mark externally what's gone on internally. As you've heard, it's gone in. You've believed it. You've turned. You've changed direction. And then externally show yourself, the world around you, Satan, if he wants to watch, I've got a new Lord. You get baptized. These three things, they meld together. Hearing with faith, repentance, baptism. You can't do it the other way around, by the way. You can't get baptized first and then think a bit later, I think I might do some repenting, and then only later on hear who Jesus is and believe in him. How will that work? You'd have just got wet and probably made a New Year's resolution. And then you finally discover that Jesus is the Saviour. How can that make any difference to you? No, you've got to get it the right way round. It starts with hearing with faith. There's no way of bypassing it. You've got to go through Jesus. There's no option. You've got to go through Jesus. And when you see who Jesus is, he calls you to repent. You've got to make that choice. And then your repentance should be expressed and your faith should be expressed next by getting baptised. So friends, this morning, I need to ask you some very simple questions. Have you heard about Jesus with faith? Do you believe that he is God's gift of salvation? He's died for you. If you have believed that, have you made that next step of changing heart and mind and saying, Jesus, you're right, I'm going away? Have you admitted your need and have you received forgiveness? If you haven't yet done that, or if you're in any doubt about whether you've done it, this morning, let's sort it. But if you have done that, you need to get baptized. You don't get baptized after you've been a Christian for, I don't know, 12 months to prove you're mature. It's part of that first step. Now, sometimes, because of the fact things haven't been explained properly to us in the first place, we don't discover it till later on. But if you have heard with faith about Jesus and repented, and if you haven't yet got baptized, dare I say, what are you waiting for? And so we've set aside a Sunday in just a few weeks to baptize anyone who needs to get baptized. Friends, this morning, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, then you need to hear with faith and believe that Jesus died for you. You need to turn and say, God, I'm going your way. And you need to get baptized. Now, we haven't got the pool full of water, so it'd be a bit trickier to baptize you right now. But you can make that decision today. That's what I need to do. In a few weeks' time, I'll make sure I'm here to get baptized. Have you done this yet? Okay, we are going to continue in a minute, but can I ask you all just to stand with me? I want to pray for us all. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes because I just want this to be a bit of a private moment for each one of us. For some of us, I know this was a long time ago. I want you to call to mind what repentance and faith means to you. But for some, it may be. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lead a prayer. And you might want to just kind of pray it again, almost with thanksgiving in your heart, knowing this has been done. But see, you've never prayed this before. This is your opportunity to nail it. Just make a decision in your heart now. Do you want to pray such a prayer of faith and obedience to Jesus? Here we go. Lord Jesus Christ. So just in your heart, hear the words and maybe echo them with me, okay? Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you died in my place. I believe that you died for all my public sin. And I believe you died for all my secret and hidden shame. And right now, I turn to you and I ask for forgiveness. I ask you to wash me clean once and for all. Lord, I turn away from going my own way and I'm turning to you. I turn away from being Lord of my own life. And I say, Jesus, you are my Lord. And Jesus, even though I don't understand it all, I'm going to make this decision today, if I need to get baptized. I'm a follower of Jesus, one of his people. Just stay where we are just for a moment. If you feel that you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, I don't want to embarrass you in any way at all, but I would love to know. So could I ask you just to raise your hand and just look and catch my eye, just so that we can have a word afterwards about it if we need to. Okay? Okay, that's great. Yep. Is there anyone else? Okay, I'm just going to pray one more prayer. Jesus, for us in this room who have prayed that prayer before, Lord, we need our whole lives to be characterized by repentance and faith. And so, Lord, this isn't just for a starting out. This is the foundation for the whole building. So in the name of Jesus, we say yes, we repent and we turn again to Jesus. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you. On the day of judgment, you're our only hope. And for the rest of this day, you're our only hope. We trust in you. So, Lord, I pray, just stir up faith amongst the men and women in this room today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. Now, we've talked about how Jesus died in our place. And what Jesus accomplishes by that is so much. But at the heart of it, he says, as a result of this, you can say, Father. You're in relationship with God. The God that you were alienated from. We were looking at the word being an alien with the young people this week as well. We were alienated from God. Now we are in relationship with God and we can call him Father. Jesus has made a way for us to be restored to relationship with the Father. But what's really interesting, if you were listening carefully to what Paul says, when he talks about believing and receiving, he makes a direct connection with the other person of the Trinity as well, the Spirit. I think we need the next slide, probably. Hearing with faith, there was a missing word there, sorry. Hearing with faith leads to receiving the Spirit, what we might call being baptized. Verse 3, it talks about us beginning with the Spirit. Verse 5 talks about supplying the Spirit. Talks about God doing miracles and wonders amongst us. The last verse I read to you, verse 14. The whole plan was all about the day when Jews and Gentiles together who share faith in Jesus become one. And what unites them, amongst other things, is they've all received the Spirit. This is part of our Christian beginnings. In fact, in this passage, Paul majors more on receiving the Spirit as being what it was all about at the beginning than the other things I've been talking about, although there as well. In Acts 2, you remember I mentioned how Peter spoke to a crowd. Well, he said to them, when they said, you know, what do we do, Peter? He said, repent, be baptized, and you'll receive forgiveness. And he said, and you'll receive the promise of the Spirit. Not just you, but your children and those who are far off. Well, that's us. We weren't alive then. We're kind of grandchildren from that time. And we're certainly far off because that was in Jerusalem. But the promise is for us, the gift of the Spirit. So Peter says, if you hear with faith, you can receive the Spirit. Paul says, if you hear with faith, you can receive the Spirit. Apostle John, in John 8:39, says that after Jesus ascended, then those who believed in him would receive what, do you think? The Spirit. Luke records Jesus saying in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 that the Holy Spirit would come on us. And in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit came on us in order to be the witnesses he wanted us to be. So Paul says it, Peter says it, John says it, Jesus says it. Do you think it could be true? I don't know. What do you think? Do you believe it? This is the question around hearing with faith. It's not enough to kind of think, oh yeah, there's some people in this congregation who seem to know a bit about the Spirit, but about me. This is kind of personal. It's kind of corporate too. But we need to hear with faith the very, very clear apostolic, ringing, repeated promise to us that this is exactly why Jesus died, so that when we believe in him and we have a relationship with the Father and the Son will give us the Spirit. Because otherwise, how on earth are you going to live the Christian life? You might know the story in Ephesus. Paul went in, he met some so-called disciples, and he kind of senses there's something fishy going on. They're like religious people, but what's going on? So he says to them, oh, you know, tell me a bit about, you know, what do you know about the Holy Spirit? And they kind of go, Okay, it's not quite what it says. I'm sort of paraphrasing it. So, We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. What? So in that case, he says, well, what kind of baptism did you have? They said, well, we got very wet. Yeah, no, that wasn't what I was talking about, says Paul. Well, it was that one that John the Baptist gave. It was us saying we really wanted to know God. Yeah, but was Jesus mentioned? Okay. Paul says, we've got a problem here. Because this whole deal is about Jesus. And so it's about being baptized because we've heard with faith about Jesus. And that's why you haven't got the Spirit either. So he says, come on, I know you got wet then, but we're going to get you wet again. We're going to do it properly this time. We're going to believe in Jesus, baptize you. So they all get soggy. And then up they come. And then Paul says, right, now I'm going to pray for you. And immediately they get filled with the Spirit. Now you can say to them, have you received the Spirit? Well, we're told they spoke in tongues. So perhaps in tongues they would have said yes. But something happened. They knew now, not only that there was a Spirit, but they'd actually also had something in their own experience causing them to be sure of what had taken place. So the main thrust of Galatians 3 is that this is how we're supposed to start, but also it's how we're supposed to go on. We're supposed to start by receiving the Spirit, but we're supposed to go on receiving the Spirit. So I guess the question to us really is, do we believe that Jesus wants to fill us with the Spirit today? Can we just go on to the next slide? So Jesus asked this question in John 7:37. It's in regards to the Spirit. He said, is anyone thirsty? The thing is, you can't receive salvation unless you decide in your mind that you're going to believe in it and you want it. And it's the same with receiving the Spirit. The Spirit is not going to come and fill you while you're saying, nah, no thank you, you know, arms crossed. There needs to be a desire within our own hearts that's saying, yes, I want to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. So there's more that we could say about this. But the teaching of Scripture is pretty simple. God wants to fill his people with the Spirit. It's meant to be something that's available from the beginning. It's something that's meant to be available for us to continue with. I wonder, is anyone thirsty here today? Can I ask you to stand with me again? It's possible the children are going to come in whilst we're praying. So we'll just have to kind of like bear with that, because we're going to just take a few more minutes to pray together. Yes, Lord. So again, I just encourage you to close your eyes. If you find this helpful, I do, then putting your hands out in front of you, it's like a way of kind of saying with your body language, God, I'm receptive. And I'm in receiving mode to be filled. But you don't have to, it's not magic. But it's just a kind of way of saying with your body and with your heart and your mind, yeah, I'm up for it. So I ask you to listen to the question of Jesus. Is anyone thirsty? So Lord, I pray right across this room that you will begin the work of with the rain of your presence, the love of God poured out in the person of the Holy Spirit. You give us these metaphors of rain, of oil, of wind. It's like breath of God. Breathe life. Breathe life. Breathe life. Let the rain of God come. Lord, the rain's come with power this week. It's changed the garden, brought life. Things were struggling, and suddenly the rain comes, there's life. Lord, wherever there is dry in this place, come now, Lord. Toby's going to just play quietly for a few minutes. I don't want us to rush on. If you recognise the song, to sing with him, but I want to encourage any of us who would like to be prayed for, to be filled with the Spirit, I'd like to encourage you to come down to the front. I know it's kind of a little bit public doing that, but nothing to be embarrassed about. But if you would specifically like to receive the Spirit, maybe you've never ever experienced being filled with the Spirit before, but after what you've heard today you realise it's available for you, then as the music starts, I want to encourage you to come forward. Some of the prayer team, if you're around today, then please just step forward, whether you've got your badge on or not. Cell leaders, anyone else who's available. So Lord, I pray now, move in our hearts this morning, have dealings with us. I pray, Lord, that you would draw hearts after you, Lord, wanting more of your presence. Yeah. So I just encourage you, come forward now if you'd like to be refreshed, or if you want to be filled with the Spirit for the first time. Come forward now, and we'll pray with you.